Hello there! Welcome to the International Business Podcast. I'm your host, Leonardo Marra, but let's make it simple and just call me Leo. In this podcast, I share my experiences and interview international professionals to draw lessons from the real-life stories. Coming up on today's episode.
If anyone wants to follow my steps and start a career in China, I can only recommend you to build a track record long in advance in your field. Choose a good field and build a track record. Experience, training, leadership. Try to learn something and stay in this field for a long time.
After a decade of international sales experience in Europe, Francis Kramer relocated to China in 2017. He has been working in the interface of European and Chinese automotive companies. Francis explains how you can relocate to China, find your place in one of the leading companies, and grow your international working skills. In the show notes, you can find the link to his LinkedIn profile. Now, let's jump into it. Hi, Francis. I'm glad to have you on. Welcome to the show. How's it going?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Nice to meet you here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. So, straight question here. Why would you define yourself as an international businessman?
Well, I've always been international, growing up in Germany with my mom from Ireland. And later I went to business school. And during business school, I spent long stays in South America and China, and it was fantastic. Later, when I started working, I was working for foreign companies in Germany. And I was connecting foreign companies from the US to German customers who are very unique in every regard. It took me lots of years to actually understand the German culture in a special way. Then I decided to come to China 3 years ago to connect European technology companies with foreign customers. This year, I finally joined a Chinese technology company and I represent them to foreign companies. So I make sure that the foreign companies feel home with the Chinese technology. You know, Chinese technology that is often known for copy and, you know, so making them feel safe with the Chinese technology company.
Before getting to China, I'm just a little bit curious about a little detail that you said. You said that German customers are kind of unique in every regard. What do you mean by that?
International people are different in every regard. So Americans, they really like to discuss and they like to learn and they like to change their approach. And if someone comes to them and tells them a straight fact, they will give it a try, you know, just because it might be true. German guys are like engineering guys. So if you explain it to them in a way that they can understand and they can prove it, then they believe you. Otherwise, they will just take this bullshit. So if you have something that is not exactly true and exactly proven, it will be very difficult to do it. And Germans are very modest. So if you come off too tough, then they might really kind of be quite disappointed and not really like to do business with you. It's very difficult for American companies in Germany.
So for about 3 years, you have been living in China. What should our listeners know about working here, about working in China?
First of all, especially in Shanghai, cost of living is very high. Visa restrictions are getting tough. It's not the golden country anymore. So you have a job, it's not enough. You need to have a good income and a company to organize your visa. But, you know, why should anyone hire you at higher cost? What exactly is your competitive advantage compared to Chinese professionals? You need to answer this question. Business skills, marketing, sales, it's just too soft. Chinese language skills, every Chinese can speak Chinese.
So can you give us some examples of jobs in China?
Well, most of the foreigners in China work as English teachers, logically, right? I mean, they are native speakers, Chinese want to improve English, so it's the best job you can get. But with all due respect, as a native speaker, there is not so much personal development possible if you teach English, your native language. How can you grow? There's lots of competition and little job security. Not a really good option. Second, the typical expat has worked in the same company in Europe, such as large auto company, and is sent to China to transfer his knowledge to Chinese staff, to trainings and some kind of experience sharing workshops and just teach them whatever he's been learning for a long time in his home country. He's very well paid and typically leaves China after his assignment is finished. The downside, unless you are working for such a company right now, it is very difficult to get in. Now, some experts, they really enjoy their stay in China. And then they decide after their first assignment that they want to stay in China and they start a local expert job with a local company, normally also a foreign company, but they will not get an expert package. So they will be living in China and they work for a foreign company normally, but they are professionals. They have a very tough working schedule, a very tough working background.
Let me jump in here a second. What do you mean by expert jobs in this case?
An expert is something that is, I would say, has a track record. So, for example, if you're a doctor, right? You took 10 years to be a doctor. So you're kind of a professional. It's not something you just picked up. If you're an engineer, it took you 4 years to study and then you joined your company. You did production management for 3-4 years. You're really an expert. If you are an architect, a photographer, whatever. So if you can really prove that you've been doing a great job, this is an expert status. But it's not something you can pick up a tree. It takes a long time to build such a track record. This is why these guys are well paid.
Makes perfect sense.
Then there is a possibility for foreign companies to hire young folks, just young foreigners, just because they are foreigners. And they offer them some jobs as sales and marketing professionals. So this is not something you take so long to learn. You have a good talent, you have a good attitude, you're extroverted. And then they will offer you to do, for example, sales from China to their home markets because you speak Spanish or you speak French and you can sell some products from China to France.
Or you speak Italian.
Or Italian, yeah. This is actually a good position to get to China. Normally, it doesn't really pay very well, but it's a good step into China. And, it's definitely a good experience. And actually, the good side is once you decide to go back to your home country, you have really learned a lot. It's much more learning than English teaching, I would say. And then there were some, foreigners that really want to step up the game and they want to start their own company or join a startup. This is actually in Shanghai. There is a lot of people doing this. It's very risky. It can go well. I've heard a lot of juicy stories. It's also difficult to get a visa. So it's difficult, but it's possible and definitely a lot of fun. And then I've heard of young folks and they start to work for Alibaba or other Chinese companies. Chinese companies, actually, if you have a good talent background, they do pay pretty well. And it's a good experience, actually. But normally they would expect you to speak Chinese.
So according to your answer, everything seems pretty tough, I'd say. So what did you do? What's your story?
I work in the corporate world. This is definitely the world where foreigners have the best chance of personal development and also income. So the world that I described before with expats and experts and staying there. While most foreigners work for foreign companies, I found this kind of job in a Chinese company in the automotive industry. As I have more than 10 years of sales experience in Europe and have been working in the automotive industry before, I was quite a unique candidate for this company. Also, I speak fluent Chinese, which is required as company language in our company's Chinese. So, of course, my team speaks English, but it would be very difficult if I couldn't speak Chinese. So I'm really pretty sure, nobody could have done this job beside me. It was a really good way to get in. But also, I built this track record over many, many years to get into this position. And if anyone wants to follow my steps and start a career in China, I can only recommend you to build a track record long in advance in your field. Choose a good field and build a track record, experience, training, leadership. Try to learn something and stay in this field for a long time. This way, you can really find a good job. You can get a good visa and you can expect a high salary. And this will make your stay in China much, much better and you can enjoy it much more.
And why did you choose China specifically? What happened 3 years ago?
Well, this is a long story. I first came to China in 2004 as an English teacher. So, as I said before, with all due respect, I do appreciate teaching English. It was a great experience. As a young guy, I was 21, first time to China, I had a lot of fun, and I always wanted to come back. And I went back to Germany because I thought, okay, you know, I have to start working, get some experience, but it never left me. I always wanted to come back. And I saw these guys on LinkedIn working in China. I said, what the hell? I have to get to China myself. So I just kind of went for it. But I have to confess, it was really tough in the beginning to find this position.
Now, Francis, so how about Chinese? How about Chinese language? Because you mentioned in your particular story, knowing Chinese has been of paramount importance. But on a general level for our audience, how important is for a foreigner to speak Chinese in China?
Let's be frank. I have lived in China for about 3 years now, and I've met very few foreigners who speak fluent Chinese. Does it help? Yes. Is it required? Not really. I learned Chinese as it was a lot of fun, and it was just a great way to spend my free time. If you want to learn Chinese, which I can highly recommend, keep in mind that most students cancel their Chinese classes after a few months. It's just a pain in the ass. This means they can maybe travel independently, order a taxi, buy groceries, but that's it. So it's not enough to attend a business meeting. It cannot really be counted as Chinese in any way, business Chinese. It's just to get around. Still, they survive. And they can survive for many, many years. So nothing wrong about this. Now, if you still really want to make it, you should set clear goals, have a 5-year plan in mind, take a lot of time, and plan 3 hours per week. This is what I did. So I spent about 3 hours per week for the past 2 years, and I've come pretty far, and I'm still, there's a long way I can improve, you know? So I'm not ready for my 5-year plan, but I really enjoy it, and it's been a good time.
I feel a little bit like if you pulled me in, because if I need to get back home, I can call a taxi. If I'm hungry, I'm going to find the restaurant. If I need to go to the toilet, I can go to the toilet, but I cannot have a business conversation in Chinese. So would you recommend, you know, these 3 hours per week? And I'm kind of fascinated by the 5-year plan, even if it is a little bit scary, I gotta be honest, you know, thinking about 5-year plan to learn Chinese. Do you recommend any specific app course, you know, or maybe studying with a teacher? What kind, you know, for those who are already living in China and they're kind of my level, so let's say basic middle level, what do you recommend us specifically to do?
Well, I've shared this advice for a lot of times, and actually nobody has followed in my footsteps because learning Chinese is very, very difficult. What I would recommend is build an Excel sheet. Go in the internet, check the 4,000 most used English words. Group them by nouns, verbs, adjectives, and grammar, and try to come up with about 300 to 500 words, different words. And make sure that you set a target for the next 6 months that you can actually achieve. So let's say you want to learn 130 nouns and about 70 verbs and about, let's say, 20 to 50 adjectives, you know, big, small, tall, fat, thin, and so on, adjectives. And then just use them and try to get around for 6 months with these 300 words. And once you're finished with this, then do it again and add another 300 words and do it again. And maybe you can get to, let's say, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 words. This will only happen if you reach your first target, because this would help you to actually have a level where you can communicate with your friends, with your company, even with the first 300 words. So the first set of 300 words will be quite perfect after, let's say, a year. And the extra words that you add, they will be sort of okay. So they will get better and better, but not perfect. And then after some time, let's say in the 5-year plan, you will have like something like 4,000 verbs and really able to express them very well. Ask me in 3 years. I'm in the 2-year plan for my 5 years. So let's see.
Okay. So we'll do another episode in 2023 then, huh?
Yes, please.
So, Francis, I want to wrap this up by asking you one final question that I ask everyone who comes on the show, and that is, tell us about one memorable moment from your international career, the most successful, the funniest, the most catastrophic episode, your pick.
Well, obviously, I have to pick a story from China. So I was just coming to China within this job, within my last job, when I came to China 3 years ago. I was working for the leading machine supplier for steering columns. It's steering columns is, you know, the part that is responsible that you can steer your car. So it's actually, every car has the same technology. So it's pretty standardized. My company, they were building more than 200 machines worldwide. So they were really experts in this area. And Great Wall Motors, the Chinese, one of the top Chinese car companies, they had just by chance found our machines in their supplier's shop floor. So they contacted us and said, guys, we want to build our steering components ourselves. You know, we've used to be buying them, but that's, you know, it's not the future. We want to build them ourselves. So now this project is not unknown, right? I mean, lots of car companies would come up with this idea. But, you know, this meeting was somewhere in the outskirts of Beijing, in the middle of nowhere. There is a small town, and actually the whole town is Great Wall Motors and people working there. And we sit in this meeting room, three Chinese engineers, the whole room smells of smoke. Nobody speaks English, no experience at all in the steering column business. They have no idea how to build this. Our customers, typically our point of contact and our international customers, they've been building steering columns for like 10 years or 15 years. They're real experts. And these guys, they just say, okay, we want to build the first set of steering columns in 1 year. So kind of, can you not sell us a machine, bring it here, and then we just start producing. It's crazy. It's just crazy because no automotive company would be doing this. But, you know, they just said, we're going to do it. And obviously, we didn't do it. We just thought it's a cheap joke. But I'm pretty sure that they made it happen. And I'm pretty sure they're building their own steering columns now. So, well, maybe someone's listening to the show is working for Great Wall. Reach out to me and tell me if they're building their own steering columns by now.
This is an interesting story. And I'm sure that lots of people heard about the China speed, how things happen, sometimes good, sometimes not very good, but in a very speedy manner. So I like this story, Francis. Before we go, who should connect with you?
I surround myself with people who want to grow in their field, who want to learn. And I'm always happy to help you in your growth journey if I can. So, you know, if you feel I can help you in any way, reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Francis, it was a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for joining us on the International Business Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was really great. Thank you.
Subscribe today to listen to more international stories. Do not forget to connect with me on LinkedIn. I'll speak with you again on the next episode.